Blog Talk Radio.
Was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory on Truth Ministry. So it's good to be here. I'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, for the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? And so we'd like to also welcome our LinkedIn connections, our Facebook friends, our Blog Talk friends, and our Twitter followers and our Instagram followers. So it's good to be here. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So it's because of the Lord we are here. He woke us up another day. And because of that, I give him thanks. That it's good to be in the land of the living. So it's because of him. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being, so we might as well not start to move unless we move in him. So it's a blessing to be here, and we thank God for the revelation of the oneness of God. And so the same Lord that I just read about in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah is the self-same one in the person of Jesus Christ. That's why the writer said he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, John said, and we beheld his glory. The glory is as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so the law was given by Moses. He was the great lawgiver, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So God loved us so much, like the writer John in John 3:16, the same writer, John, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so we want you to know there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so we thank God for his word, this writing. The Apostle Paul, who was the apostle to the Gentiles, wrote to the Gentiles. So we were made fellow heirs of the same body. And so the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so he was going to be a light unto the Gentiles. The prophet Isaiah prophesied. And so thank God that he came to save souls. So initially, the Israelites were the chosen people of God, but they rejected him. They did not believe that he was the one that Moses and the prophets and the psalmists wrote about, that he should come. So Israel is on a hold. He's not dealing with them now. This is the time of the Gentiles. And so he's going to save a remnant out of Israel, as we have been saying, and as the scripture lets us to know. And this is what we were making mention about the remnant in the book of Romans. He writes, 9th chapter, things that he done, his prayer for Israel, the 10th chapter, the 11th chapter is actually a continuation, how he is going to have a remnant, how he's going to save Israel, the chosen people. They are elect. So there's all of Israel. So all out of every tribe is going to be 12,000 saved during the tribulation period. That is the remnant of the Israelites. So now it's time for everyone else. That's why Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So other nations, other people, in every nation. Peter said when he went to Cornelius' house in the 10th chapter of Acts, he says, "I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. For in every nation, him that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." So this is what God is looking at. He's looking at the heart. So he's not looking at, even back when he chose David to be king, the prophet said that the Lord, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And so he came to save souls, not skins, but he came to save souls. So some lies that was told from the pit of hell, the devil orchestrated it himself, which is a dirty lie. God is not prejudiced, but God loves souls. All souls are mine, as he said in the book of Ezekiel, but the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Every man is going to give account for himself, for the deeds that are done in his body. So we're going to be changed. We're going to be like him. That is the church. So that's why now, the question is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? As we ask the question, because now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. So this is what he was saying back in, as I make mention, numbers of times in the 95th Psalm, as he said, after so long a time, as in the provocation of the wilderness, he was saying, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So his word, so his spirit dealing with you, letting you know, pleading with you to make a change, to repent, to do works meet for repentance. So this is why we thank God for his eternal power and Godhead, knowing the Godhead is only one God, so who is the head of all things. So we're continuing on in our Only Believe series, so part 21, End Time Signs. So should you desire to call in, you have a question, you have a comment, you are welcome. Our call-in number on today, August 27th, between 5 and 6 p.m. Eastern Time, our call-in number 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285 is our guest call-in number. You are welcome to call in as we are continuing on with our Only Believe series, End Time Signs. And so much we've been saying over the weeks, and then, like, sometimes you got to be redundant because it's just the way it is when you look at the scriptures and the way that things go in the Bible. So we're continuing on. So like we were saying, so many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So this is out of Matthew, the 24th chapter. So that's one of the very, Matthew was a Jew. He was an apostle also, and he wrote, and he really gave a whole lot of information. And so we know that Nero, I mean, not Nero, but Titus the General, they came in and destroyed Jerusalem. Forget 300 A.D. I'm not for certain whatever the exact date was. They went in and they did destroy Jerusalem. That is why we have what they call the Wailing Wall is left, and the Jews go there wailing at that wall because they said it was so horrific when they went in, the soldiers slaughtered the people in Jerusalem, and it was so horrific, so terrible of a bloodshed that they said the soldiers literally got sick because there was so much bloodshed. So that place was destroyed, and so that we ain't seen nothing yet. So that's why we're pleading with people, making you to know what the plan of salvation is, trying to make you aware of what time it is on God's time clock. There is no more prophecy to be fulfilled. I mean, people putting themselves in things, you know, so if that's the case, people keep talking about prophecy got to be fulfilled, was spoken over them. I mean, people doing this stuff all the time. I mean, the Lord ain't going to never come. That don't make sense. No, that is not true. It's like he said, that God has a set time when he's going to come. And so this is what the writer was talking about in the book of 1 Corinthians when he was talking about charity, which is, it's the Holy Ghost. So he was saying that we prophesy in part and we know in part. So he goes on here to say the charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. There's going to come a time prophecies are going to fail. Prophecies are going to fail. And he was saying whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So this is 1 Corinthians 13 and 8. So a very important passage of scripture. So God has got a set time when he's going to make the one cry. It's like he did when he went to the grave of Lazarus, when he let them know, said I not unto you, thou wouldest believest, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And so he was saying that He is the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in him, me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So Mary was saying, Martha, rather, I believe that, you know, that I shall see him at the resurrection of the last day. That's when he was letting her let her know, I am the resurrection. So he prayed. He lifted up his voice and wept. And the 20th, St. John 11 and 35. So he went on to the grave. It was a big stone. Take away the stone. They said, by this time he stinketh. That's when he was saying, said I not unto thee, thou wouldest believe as thou shalt see the glory of God. So they rolled it away. He prayed. Said, I said it because of the people that stood by. I know you hear me, and you hear me always. And when he had thus spoken, the writer John says, he cried with a loud voice, saying, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and feet with grave clothes, a napkin about his face. They said unto him, the people that were standing by, Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. So they say that if he hadn't called Lazarus by his name, all the dead in the graves would have got up when they heard his voice. And that is what's going to come to pass. He already said that during his earthly ministry in the fifth chapter of St. John. The hour is coming when the dead that are in the graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God and live. They that have done good unto life eternal, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So there's going to be a resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. So you want to be in the first resurrection. This is what he talks about in the book of Revelation. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. So the other ones, they shall be kings in Christ and reign with him 1,000, you know, reign with him. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were fulfilled. And he said, this is the first resurrection. So you want to be in the first resurrection. So as we go on here today, so as I said in my title here, people are hungry for God, and some believe anyone who say they are anointed and appear to be super spiritual. So that is, you got people that are on these, especially they're on these video live streams, be it Facebook Live, be it Periscope. They did have another one. I think that one fizzed out. But anyway, those are the two major ones. And also, let's not forget YouTube. So you got people, there are legitimate people on there, know what they're talking about as far as the Word of God. The Word of God goes, and then you got people on there don't know what they're talking about. And then they're on there speaking in tongues, every other word, like this, you know, like, and then some people don't know no better. They think, oh my God, you know, they're so spiritual. God is talking to them. No, that ain't nothing but emotion, you know. No, have some sense. Talk. Like Apostle Paul say, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with our understanding. So you speaking in tongues, all you're doing is edifying yourself. So you're supposed to be talking. Talk. Not you all off on a tantrum like you're so super spiritual you can't talk. No, you can control yourself. The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. You can control your own self. So that's what Paul was saying, that he'd rather by his voice give understanding. And he goes on to say in that same 14th chapter of St. John, if any man be, I mean, 1 Corinthians, rather, the 14th chapter, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. So you got to pay attention. So here, as we say, we go back, and so we have been redundant, and then so we bring out things old and things that are new in the book of Matthew when he talks about every householder, you know, what he does. He brings out things old and things new. And so that's how it is. So you got the Old Testament is the Bible concealed. The New Testament is the Bible revealed. The fulfillment of the law is in Christ. And so they didn't preach Jesus out of no gospels because they didn't have the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as we have. They preached him out of the law of Moses. They preached him out of the prophets, and they preached him out of the Psalms. And so that's what Paul was saying. That's what Jesus said in the 24th chapter of Luke when he said, "These are the words that I spake unto you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms." So he led them out as far as Bethany lifted up. He said, about them, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So they had the right message. And so what it is now, these end time signs is what I'm trying to give the information on. These people don't know what they're talking about. They don't even realize what time it is. And everybody want to make this your time, this your season. Like I said before, and I say it again, people always did have times and seasons. But the gospel is about him. So God is going to take care of us, and he is faithful. He's going to take care of us while we're in the earth. And there are a lot of additives and things in our food. The government is doing things. People are trying to poison water. All kinds of things are happening. Additives are added in the food to prolong the shelf life. And God knows what else. They don't want people, like they said, there was this one doctor. He had a cure for most diseases. The medical world do not want everybody to get well. That means they don't have a job. That means the pharmaceuticals won't make money. They're raping people, robbing them blind with the prices that they're charging. Because we saw that back in earlier in the 2000s. With the gas prices were astronomical, just up and down, up and down. They were literally raping us for our money at the gas pumps. And I'm not scared to say it. A lot of people won't say it. They made billions, the oil companies, off of people. Rich people don't care because they got the money. That's their problem because, their money is their God in too many cases. They don't believe God. They try to say you are God and all that, but none can keep alive his own soul. Read the Bible. So, well as you feel, you're sick enough to die. So we continue on here. So these people are so-called, they say that they are anointed. Actually, they say they are Christ. He said, many shall come in my name, saying, Matthew 24:5, and many shall come in my name, this is Jesus talking, saying, I am Christ and shall deceive many. And it actually, the word Christ means anointed. So that's, you never heard about people talking about the anointing, my anointing, and all this. Like, no, it ain't your anointing. It ain't your Holy Ghost. God has given us of his spirit. There's only one anointing. That's what John talks about in 1 John 2:27. He says, the anointing, the same anointing. Paul said, he that anointed us is God. It's not, he never said, I'm anointed. No, this is a we and us, not a I and a me. That's the problem in the church world today. So he said upon the Mount of Olives, Matthew 24:3. So see, some prophecies are double reference, just like in the book of Genesis, the 22nd chapter, when the Lord told Abraham to go offer up Isaac for a burnt offering. So he took him. And then that's when he was going to get ready to slay him. God already knew what was going to happen. But Abraham saw what was in his own heart. So that's why the Hebrew writer said that God was able to raise him even from the dead, because he was the promised one, Isaac, and shall thy seed be called. So Isaac was the promised seed. So if he would have slayed Isaac, God would have had to resurrect Isaac from the dead, but he didn't. So, but anyway, that was a double reference prophecy. It says God will provide himself a lamb. So that's what Isaac said to his father. The wood and the sacrifice is on the altar, but where is the lamb? So that's when he was saying God will provide himself a lamb in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. So this is what they call a double reference prophecy, because he actually That's what John said, I believe, in St. John 1 and 29, when he said these words, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So Jesus was the Lamb of God. He was a lamb. So now he is carrying lambs in his bosom. But there's going to come a time he is going to be the lion from the tribe of Judah. So he is not playing. And so this is what we're trying to get people to understand. And so as what I was saying, there came to the place where God had told him of, Genesis 22 and 9, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood on in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. This is what I wanted. The 22 and 8, I'm sorry. And Abraham said, "My son," Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, up a little farther. So Isaac spake to Abraham his father and said, "My father," he said, "here I am. Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" A question. Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. So this is the double reference prophecy, because he himself was a lamb then, and he was the lamb that came in the world. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So we're going on here. So that was a double reference prophecy. So I said all that to say, right here, he said upon the Mount of Olives, Matthew 24 and 3, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" So this actually is a double reference prophecy too, because they actually came in and destroyed Jerusalem, as I made mention of a few minutes ago. But actually, the coming of the Lord, we have signs. This is what we tried, like he said, as it was in the days of Noah. So what did they do in the days of Noah? It was violence. That's why God destroyed the earth in the days of Noah, because it was violence. You know, people's thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. So he mentions about the days of Lot. What did they do in the days of Lot? They planted, they sowed, they built, and they were the sodomy. That's why they call it the days of Lot, the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. When he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because it was wicked. They did wickedness in the sight of the Lord, men with men working that which is unseemly, the writer writes in the book of Romans. And so men and women, they're doing the same thing today. And like I said, in 2016, I believe it was, the Supreme Court passed in the United States of America same-sex marriage. So it doesn't, for the jellyback preachers or the preachers that don't stand for nothing, they will be, or I guess even others, certain court people can marry people. So you don't have to be ordained minister to a justice of the peace or whatever to marry people. But other people actually have the authority to join people together. And that's not holy matrimony, that's for sure. They join people together in same-sex marriage. So never thought that we would see this kind of thing in our lifetime. And so this is exactly what's happening. You got prominent men, news anchors, weathermen, people anchoring on major networks married to a same-sex partner. And I submit to you, that is nasty, and it stinks in the nostrils of God. And he's not pleased with that foolishness, and it doesn't matter who don't like it. It's the truth, and they're going to be judged for it. They got time now to repent and to get out of that foolishness. But if they don't, they in trouble. So he's not playing. So, you know, he that being often reproved, the scripture says, and hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. That without remedy. That's in the book of Proverbs. So God is not playing. He is the judge of the earth, yet he will do it. That's what judgment is going to run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream, like that scripture I make mention before in the book of Amos. So God is not playing. So that's the end time sign. There's so much violence going on. So this is when he was saying here when they asked these questions. So then he goes on, Jesus said, answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now that's really a whole strong one right there, because people don't like it, because some people don't want to be challenged. And I'm saying leaders, but it matters not. Because I remember when the Jim Jones, they went to Guyana, that island, wherever that was, that where he took those people and they drank that Kool-Aid in November of 1978. So, because I had been in church like a couple years when that happened. I remember. So this is what Jesus is talking about. Don't let no man deceive you. He said, the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And he ain't talking about no ditch on the side of the road. He talking about hell. So people need to believe the report of the Lord. So that's what Isaiah was talking about. Whom shall the arm of the Lord been revealed, you know. But he was going to grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. We should, you know, he had no form nor comeliness, and when we should see him, there should no beauty we desire. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted, you know, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So he was made a sin offering unto the world. But so, like I said, I think week before last, people will teach what they believe. And so some people haven't, it's sad to say, but some things, the reason why we don't hear certain things is because people will teach what they have been exposed to or what they have been taught. That's the rule. That's what they did, the Jews, in the book Deuteronomy. He was saying about the law, you know, teach it to thy sons and thy son's sons. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, Apostle Paul was telling Timothy to be strong in the Lord. You know, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then he went on to let him know the things which you have heard of me among before many witnesses. He said, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. And so that is why I said, and then I know some of my other contemporaries, bishops, they will say the same thing. You got to watch a man, because it's not in the ability that we have in ourselves, but it's the giving glory to God who gave us the ability to be able to do it. We don't boast in ourselves. Apostle Paul said, we don't preach ourselves, but we preach the Lord Jesus. So the point being is my boast ain't in me. I thank God for what was put in me, and I thank God for the wisdom of God. He brought me in, and the people, the men and women that taught me is the reason why that I have what I have. I didn't give it to myself, but I took heed and listened to those that instructed me. So then I was able to pass the truth down. So I'm talking to, even literally, I talk to people, and I talk to my own adult sons pretty much. Whenever they got a question, they're going to call me up and ask me, because they know if I don't have it, I will find it, the answer, that is. And so that's what we have to do. So that's what people, and so people are not, some people, some churches, you're not even hearing hardly ever about the coming of the Lord. Like, this, I can't get used to that. I can't be numb to that. I have to be conscious of what the Word says and to be aware of the time. This is what Paul was saying. He said it a lot. Wake thou, that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Then he talks in the book of Romans. He says, now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. And so in the book of Corinthians, when he wrote to the Corinthian church, he said, time is short. And so, I mean, Jesus said, surely I come quickly. James said, what is your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little while, and it vanishes away. So time is short. So it doesn't matter who don't believe it. So people think it's going to get better. And, you know, they want to pass a law for this. We don't need these kind of weapons. We don't need that. Like a criminal never cared about a law. An adulterer never cared about the law says thou should not commit adultery. A fornicator or a liar, they never cared and don't care and never care about what the law says. So that doesn't matter. So People do what they want to do, what they big enough and bad enough to do, but they're not going to lie to God. When they got a judge they're going to have to stand before. He is not going to be playing. So this is the thing what we're talking about. And so you got, so he was saying about in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Apostle Paul was saying to his son Timothy, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So this is forbidden to marry and commanded to abstain from meat. So we see all of this. You got vegans, you got keto, all kinds of different diets. And I mean, the whole point is there is nothing wrong if you don't want to eat meat. But what the Bible speaks against is commanding to abstain from meats. Don't make it be a commandment for somebody else. You can do what you want. You ain't got to eat pork. Just say, for an instance, a person with high blood, they don't need that because it's got salt in it, a lot of it. So that's wisdom, not to cut back on certain things. Everybody has to look at their own health to take care of themselves. But what he's saying is you can't make it be a commandment. So that's why he was saying that they are forbidding to marry. So some say remarry, commanding to abstain from meats. Then he said, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. He goes on, for every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So he goes on, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast also attained. So he goes on, refuse profane and old wise fables. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. So the whole point is, he didn't say don't exercise. I do cardio on a regular basis, and thank God, and that's why I feel good, and I don't take any meds or anything. So some things you can do and try to watch yourself. That don't mean you can't have a snack or whatever. But for the most part, you're trying to take care of yourself, put down that salt shaker, because that's not good. You know, people have high blood and all of that. So you try to take care of yourself. You're going to add to your quality of life. Like I was saying on the last week, that some people, the reason why they didn't eat right, they shortened their lives, they didn't do nothing but just sit around. Mostly they did. Maybe if somebody ran in church or whatever, I mean, they didn't even walk. Like in the Bible days, they walk, they work, they were very mobile, as I was saying on last time. So again, should you desire to call in, our call-in number 929-477-2285. That is the guest call-in number. Should you have a question or a comment, 929-477-2285. So you never seen so many people talking, but they're not telling people what to do. So people don't know. You can't talk to everybody like they are a believer. There's a difference in trying to reach out to people who don't have the salvation of God and letting them know that you could get it. There's a difference. And so that is the problem in the church nowadays. So many people, they're explaining, like someone said, they're explaining the Bible away because they don't know what they're talking about. And so you can't teach what you don't know. And you can't teach what you have not been taught. So there's so many false prophets going out in the world, as John has said. And Peter, everyone makes mention. So that was Apostle Paul giving his warning. And so John, many false prophets are going out into the world. 1 John 4:1, believe not every spirit. Try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out in the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is come in the flesh, is of God. Every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now, already it is in the world. Like I said before, that was back then when John wrote. Then he was saying, ye are of God, little children, and overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so it's so much to be, we have to look at who wrote and who did they write to. So some people, they don't really break this particular scripture down. Second Timothy 1:7. When Apostle Paul actually is writing to his son Timothy, so he's telling him, he's encouraging him, really. He's not browbeating him. I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. Then he goes on here, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So he's talking about the Holy Ghost, stirring up the Holy Ghost. He's addressing the bishop, Timothy. And so he goes on here, for God hath not given us. So in other words, Timothy, I'm telling you, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He goes on to say, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's why you got to preach the gospel. People preaching all kinds of other stuff, and they're not really preaching the gospel, presenting the gospel message as they should. So, because I wonder, like, man, what is going on? And so you go on here, and so he was saying, whereunto I am an appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us, that thou knowest that they all which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermon genes. So Apostle Paul was dealing with some stuff. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But he was in Rome. When he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. So he goes on, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. So here's what I was talking about a few minutes ago. Thou therefore, my son, be strong. So he's still addressing the bishop Timothy, his son in the gospel. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He goes on here, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, let him, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. He goes on, husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer. He didn't say I was an evildoer. He said I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So it is a faithful saying, but if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. We suffer with him, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So much you got to dispel. So a real man of God or a real woman of God, people are going to know where you are. Everybody talking about Jesus, they don't know who he is. They don't know who they talking about. Like I said, they're explaining the Bible away. So if you speak the word, you are representing a country. You're an ambassador for a country. That people are going to know who you are, who you represent. You representing God. Everybody running off, like all the people they're talking to, you can't just assume that everyone under the sound of your voice has the salvation of God. No, you got to let them know what to do. I mean, you let people know how to get in. So it's not a hard thing. And so as we go on, because it was a lot of things going on even when he addressed Titus. And so that's when he was saying about people, what they had done, about speak out the things which become sound doctrine. He was talking about people's mouths must be stopped, especially there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things that they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Under the pure all things are pure, and under them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in their works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. That's why he goes on to say, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith and charity and patience. So a lot of people, they don't. If you got it, you will say it. You won't be ashamed. You realize who you represent. So, you know, we're not necessarily representing a ministry or representing a building. And that's what people get offended, because people can find fault. And I mean, we found out years ago, even people can find fault in men, because that is how people are. They will find fault in the leader or the leaders. They can find fault in the church or the name of the church or people that go to the church. But one thing they can't find fault in legitimately, and that is in the Lord. Even Pilate said, I find no fault in him at all. So that's what you got to do. That's why Jesus said, St. John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. He's talking about the scriptures. And so we have Peter, the awesome and amazing man who Jesus said, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. That means exactly what it says. So in other words, he has the power, not no keys like we think that you shake and you can open up doors. No, the power and the authority to, and so that's it. So that's the, the church has binding and loosing power when it's used correctly. So because forgiveness, so a lot of people don't want to deal with it. The 18th chapter of Matthew is how it goes. You got to ought with somebody, you go to them yourself. They don't want to hear you, you take two or three with you. That are out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. They don't hear you and whoever with you or the two or three, then you tell it to the church. And then so the deacon board represents the church. That is the church court is the deacon board. So that's why Jesus was saying two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall have, that they shall ask. They shall have it of my Father which is in heaven. He goes on to say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So what he's saying is, in the church court, they agree, so they to rectify this situation or to bind that person if they're not going to get out of it or whatever the case may be, they're going to have it. And the reason why they're going to have it, because I'm in the midst. They're gathered together in my name, and I'm going to make sure that is the reason why they're going to get it is because I'm in the midst. So too many people use that scripture so loosely. Agree with me. No, I don't need nobody to agree with me. I believe the word. I don't need you to agree with me. Agree with me, I'm going to buy this. I'm going to get that. I'm going to get this car. Get whatever. This stuff that people be doing. Like they used to say, the late bishop that was a diocesan when I was a young minister, he said, that isn't what that's talking about at all. And he is exactly right. It doesn't matter who, and it's amazing. People are not even talking about it. You would think should be talking about it. So people are so hungry, they're gullible, they believe anything. So that's why you got to be sound. All those scriptures that I read, you got to get in a apostolic church, get baptized in the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. Just the Holy Ghost that Isaiah said, this is the rest and the refreshing. The same Holy Ghost that Joel prophesied about. 2:28, it shall come to pass, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. That is the new thing that he's talking about. Ain't no all of this stuff what people saying. No, he came to seek and save that which is lost. He came to give his life a ransom for many. So it's not going to be long. He's going to come back and get his church. My God is coming back. And it won't be long. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So people are just so caught up in stuff and power and in themselves. This is what he warned against. So Peter says right here when he was talking about they were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He's telling us these things. You escaped his divine power. You escaped all these things. And so he was saying, through you, because of the knowledge of the Lord, and he was saying, by adding to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on, but he that lacketh these things, all those things that I talked about, is blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I would not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. See, the present truth is what's going to save us now. After the rapture of the church, this is not going to be the prescription for the day to repent before the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's going to be too late. It's going to be the judgment of God falling at that time. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle. Peter's talking about his body.
stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. We have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. See, that's what a real apostle is. They are eyewitnesses. They were chosen by him. They were personally taught by him. They were eyewitnesses of him. They wrote the New Testament scriptures, and they all died horrible deaths except for John. So he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." This voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well. Take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. He goes on to say, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So here's what I want to get to. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who shall privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and shall bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, their damnation slumbereth not. And he goes on here about God spared not the angels. For if God spared not the angels that sin, cast them down to hell, delivered them in the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, so that's and the turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among, in seeing and hearing, vexed or troubled his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So he goes on to say, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punish. So people should be saying what the word of God says, not just call themselves speaking in tongues every other two or three words. I've seen people do it, like ridiculous. Like, man, come on. Thank God I'm not ignorant. Paul said, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. I'm not ignorant. I see that. Some people, they don't know any better. They're hungry for God. You got people on there like he's so super spiritual or she's so super spiritual. I got a word for you. It ain't telling you how to be saved. So that is a deceiver. They don't know what they are talking about, and that is a sign of the end times. They're saying that they are anointed, and they're deceiving people. So this is what the Lord is against, and somebody got to speak out against it. That's what I'm doing. That is a sign of the end time, because if you believe God, you're going to say it. You're not going to deny the Lord this foolishness that the man came up with, that there is no hell. I mean, that is totally absurd. To say that there is no hell is to call Jesus a liar, because he said that's a place where the worm died not and the fire's never. So we thank God for his word on today as we're going to get ready to go. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Like we say, my question to you is, have you received the Holy Ghost? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So